Yes, in this case, this particularly egregious case, we were given some information from the Department of Employment about some concerns they had that employees involved in the seasonal worker program were being exploited by Emmanuel Barney and his company, Marucci Sunshine. Once we got the tip-off and started making inquiries about his practices, it was pretty clear that there was a problem. So we acted as quickly as we could to bring this matter to court. This guy was very elusive. Our inspectors had to hunt him down right across Queensland. We got a tip-off that he was hiding out in a caravan park in Townsville. We had inspectors on a plane that night. The next morning, served him his notices in that caravan park. So we didn't leave many stones unturned to try and get this guy before the courts, and thankfully the judge agreed with us that this guy had needed a penalty imposed against him.
How did this bloke, Emmanuel Barney, ever get to be an accredited provider under the Seasonal Workers Program?
Look, there was obviously a process run by the Department of Employment at the time which sought to facilitate this important policy. The important thing in this case is Emmanuel Barney's been stripped of any entitlement to participate in this program going forward, and we've had the federal court impose a pretty significant penalty against him.
Sure, and also ordered to repay nearly $77,000 in outstanding wages to the men involved. Will they ever see their money?
I certainly hope so. It is a feature of our work that sometimes these penalties go unpaid, but we have sought the court to make a judgment in our favour that penalties be paid to the individual employees involved, and we'll do what we can to make that happen. But the important piece for us in this space is to make sure, you know, a scumbag like the employer in this case can't operate any further in this country and exploit more vulnerable workers.
And how will you do that?
Well, what we'll do is we continue to keep a feel for what's happening in the sector. Certainly if any grower or farmer was approached by this man to offer services, you'd certainly hope that they'd refuse, and certainly those people involved in overseeing labour on those sites should call us or another authority and let us know if that's an intent on his behalf.
I'm sure they would now, but what confidence can those growers have that when they're approached by an accredited provider under the government's seasonal worker program that they are dealing with someone legitimate?
Oh, look, I think in the most cases they're going to be legitimate. The experience of this agency is that some employers are just rotten eggs. They are the minority, and that's why we need to take, you know, shorthand to those operators and have them dragged before the courts and penalties imposed. The program's been working pretty well. I accept there has been exploitation of workers in some cases, but that's consistent with many other industries as well.
What's become of these 22 men from Vanuatu?
I understand that the men are back in Vanuatu. We've been contacted by many of them since the decision was handed down, and they're very thankful for the support they got from the Fair Work Ombudsman in bringing Emmanuel to justice, and we hope that we can continue to act to return the money that are owed to them.
And yet, sadly, it does seem to be an all too familiar scenario. We hear of these abuses, and there is frustration being expressed by growers who feel that they are tarnished with the same brush when these cases are highlighted in the media. They say that it's a national problem that requires a national approach. Why isn't that happening? Why does it seem to be left to individual states to work out licensing arrangements for labour hire operators and industry-led initiatives?
I would say that there are some organisations which are showing leadership at a national level to try and come up with a sector-led approach to dealing with this issue, and I speak of the National Farmers Federation and the efforts they're bringing to establish a tripartite approach to identifying the issues that are driving the non-compliance that we see and that people are concerned about, and putting in place practices that assist ensure that these exploitation cases don't come to light. The regulator, being in this case the Fair Work Ombudsman, can continue to nut these dirt bags on the head, but ultimately we need leadership from the sector to help change what's going on. And it would be naive of me to say that we could fix this problem by ourselves, and taking cheap shots at what we do doesn't help anyone. What we do is an important role. We take about 50 matters to court each year. That's followed up with many thousands of enforcement outcomes on top of that. So the organisation punches pretty well above its weight. We recover many millions of dollars for Australians each year, and we'll continue to do so. But ultimately, what's going to achieve sustainable change is when leaders in the sector step up and seek to to work cooperatively with all people involved to make change. And as I said, the National Farmers Federation is having a decent crack at that, and I hope that other organisations will do the same.
Sure, but those organisations have also been critical of the Fair Work Ombudsman for essentially fiddling away at the edges with things like mobile phone apps when the root of the problem is still not being addressed. How would you respond to that criticism?
I would say that the app in question has proven to be very popular. We've had over 5,000 downloads since it was launched just recently, and the objective there is to assist employees keep a record of their hours at work. And if employers kept decent records, that wouldn't be necessary. But unfortunately, we find in many cases that employers haven't kept decent records. So we have always encouraged employees to keep records of the hours that they work, and this app helps facilitate that.
Would the Fair Work Ombudsman be in a better position to tackle worker exploitation and to have a deterrent effect if your offices were based in Bundaberg and Gatton rather than Rockhampton and Brisbane, for example?
Well, we don't have an office in Bundaberg, but we do have an office in Toowoomba. We have offices also in Cairns and Rockhampton and Gold Coast. So the Fair Work Ombudsman can't be everywhere, and I don't think it's the taxpayers' job to fund inspectors in every town, in every city in this country. So we have to make do with what we've got.
But would it send a message, though, to those that are trying to exploit workers that you are there on the ground, that you are going to take action if they do the wrong thing?
I think we are there on the ground. I think our inspectors have proven to be very nimble and capable of tracking down essentially bad guys and bringing them to court, and this case is a great example of it.